Welcome to Leadership Conversations with Josh Reich and Casey Cease. We have the conversations that leaders want to have. Now, on to our show. Thanks for joining us again for another episode of Leadership Conversations. This is Casey Cease along with my partner in good things. Right? I didn't want to say crime, Josh. Josh Reich. Josh, how's it going, buddy?
Hey, man, it's good. Is it, how hot is it where you are now?
Oh, man, no comment. It went from being very pleasant to blistering hot pretty quickly. And it hasn't even started. Really, the humidity is what you understand. Like, hey, it's starting to warm up a bit, and then it's going to let us have it pretty soon. So
yeah. We're so, like in but, of excessive heat watch.
Yeah, but like if it kills viruses at this point, you're kind of like welcoming it. You're like, I'm sweating my face off going to my car. But if it's also killing a bit of COVID while it's at it, it's worth it. So
yeah,
that's kind of how I sit with it. Well, today we want to talk about learning patience as you grow as a leader, because Josh and I have both, our personality types don't naturally lend themselves towards patience. But not only is patience a fruit of the spirit, it's also a necessity in various aspects of our lives.
Well, and I think if you're a leader, most of the time leaders just aren't patient people, because right. They see the future. That's what leaders do. They see what is to come. They see, if you're really intuitive, you walk into a room and you know what's broken, you know what needs to be fixed, and you're wondering why it's taking people so long to see it. Which is right now I've listed all the reasons why I struggle with patience.
Yeah.
You know, and if you start something, you know, most of the times you started something because you were getting impatient with the organization that you were in to catch up to where you wanted to be. So you just said, well, I'll just go do my own thing. Which is how most church plants get started.
Yeah. Businesses too.
Yep. And so, you know, but patience is incredibly important. And so, you know, so besides the things I've listed for you, both of us, you know, we're eights and threes on the Enneagram. So we are driving, achieving people.
Yep.
Those are our goalposts. Why else is patience hard for you?
Yeah. I mean,
for other leaders, we can talk about other leaders.
No, I'll talk specifically about myself. And I made a decision about 10, 15 years ago that, okay, learning to be patient, the same way the Apostle Paul learned to be content, that I would have to expand my capacity of patience. I was a new dad, and I had intentionally positioned myself in career paths or environments where either my impatience was beneficial to myself or the organization, or it was forgiven because of sometimes the result I could produce. But it began, you know, through marriage and then through having children, began becoming more apparent that, okay, what I once perceived as an asset of being driven and impatient was actually becoming a greater liability.
When did that happen? Because I think that's important, because when you're in your 20s, impatience is actually seen as a strength.
Yeah. Well, twofold. You're getting stuff done, but twofold. One, I'm married to a patient woman who has been very patient with me, but because she has a more steady, our friends at Crosspoint Ministry, they talk about being a transformed and transforming presence. Her as a six on the Enneagram, very loyal. And so, you know, marriage started exposing some of that, realizing, you know, becoming more self-aware of my effect I was having on people. Just kind of self-permissive and being able to do things. And then the pain it was causing myself for my lack of patience, it was hurting me in overcommitting,
like physically or
just physically and emotionally. It was, I was not sleeping enough because I was, you know, I didn't know when work was over. I wanted something done yesterday. And as I entered into my 30s or so, about 10, 12 years ago, it began really become apparent, you know. And when they say patience is a virtue, because I remember when I accidentally was patient once, when I was about 30 years old, I was someplace and we were taking forever and I just hadn't externally expressed my impatience, but I was feeling impatient. They're like, man, thank you so much for your patience. And I realized what a gift and grace it was to that person. And I wondered, like, hey, would that be helpful in other places if I would maybe be a little bit more quick to listen, slow to speak? And so it was a culmination of all those things, the effect I was having on other people and the effect that my impatience was having on me. And I was highly impatient with myself. Why am I not, when I was traveling speaking, why am I not booked up 150 days a year? You know, why am I not speaking at certain, certain groups or certain churches? Why am I, and I would get so bogged down on what I'm not doing that I would never be able to celebrate what I was able to be a part of and what I was able to
do. I think that's important because I think a lot of leaders, I mean, especially, so I'm over 40. I think you are too. Mm-hmm. You got a lot of gray in your beard. So you're for sure.
I'm over 40. Yeah.
But like a lot of leaders in their 30s and 40s, you start to get really impatient about, well, I thought I'd be further along. I thought I'd have a bigger organization. I thought I'd have more influence. I thought people would see more in me. And so you begin to, your impatience starts to rise up because you're afraid that you're going to become irrelevant. You're afraid that you're going to fall behind. You're afraid that, you know, there's going to be a newer, younger version of you that maybe is going to hit at just the right time. And, you know, so I talked to a lot of leaders in their, just in their late 30s and their 40s, just thinking, man, I missed it. And I think you still have 30 years left of leadership plus, you know, so there is this kind of almost internal clock, so to speak, for leaders where they're just, worried about that. And so they think they have to push. They think they have to, push the people around them and even in some ways try to push God into what they're trying to do.
And I think we have to match our capacity with our patience where, because I mean, I think we've seen time and time again where people have reached that pinnacle and their impatience drove them to that point, but then they didn't have capacity to handle the responsibility of it.
Yeah.
And so there's this odd thing of matching capacity with timing that is actually beneficial to a leader that, maybe the Lord is looking out for me by not entrusting me with more than what I can actually handle, even though I think I can handle more. Because the larger an organization gets, the more patient you are forced to become. Yeah. And so if you're, because we've seen tons of guys, like rockets soar up and go, and then they get those things. And sometimes they're able to withstand it and keep going and adjust and change. And but a lot of times it just falls apart.
Well, and I think too, like, I feel like sometimes I've been able to look back and see how God protected me because I wasn't ready for something. I wasn't ready for the influence that I thought I deserved, or I wasn't ready for the platform that I thought I deserved, or, and looking back, I've been able to see, oh, maybe that was God protecting me in that moment and just saying, no, there's something else, which is hard. It's not fun in that moment. But on this side of it, you can look back and feel and for me, get a sense of peace about what God's doing.
Well, I think we're oftentimes impatient for an experience or a feeling that what I found in my experience when we achieve something isn't necessarily matching. The reality isn't matching our ideal, right? And so I think that's where wisdom comes in as we age, where even if we have achieved something or more than what we expected, the cost to get there or the gravity of the responsibility once you're there, you don't really know. And I used to get so frustrated with older mentors. He's like, brother, you're just, the Lord's preparing you, prepare the message. He'll give you the platform. I'm like, shut up. I have energy now. I want to go, conquer the world for Christ and my own issues. But, but the reality was, I didn't know what I didn't know.
Yeah.
And the more I humbled myself to become aware of what I didn't know and trust what I didn't know, that the happier I began to be and more content I am with my lot.
Yeah.
And I think you and I both have had the privilege of having friends that have landed those big platforms. And while, they get to fly nicer seats in the airplanes and stay at nicer hotels and get nicer honorariums, the gravity and pressure on them is different.
Yeah. Well, and I think so on a practical level, cause a lot of times where impatience shows up is when you're leading something, you're making a change, right? I mean, so does it show up anywhere else for you, or is that where impatience starts to rear its head for you?
Less so now, I would say, in discipleship with people, why couldn't they just see Jesus and stop doing that stupid stuff? Why wouldn't they just quit it? Because I mean, I've had certain issues in my life when the aha moment happened And I really experienced some real deliverance, you know, even looking at inappropriate things on the internet, pornography, you know, or pre-internet. In 1998, the Lord, I would say, miraculously, you know, delivered me from that. And that hasn't been a personal struggle of mine since that time. But it doesn't mean I don't have other struggles. But when I'm dealing with guys who are like, yeah, no, I messed up again, I'm like, I don't understand. And over the years, I've become far more patient, because while that may not be my struggle, I certainly have other struggles that's a constant battle, and needing to readjust and repent and think different and all that. And so I think over the years, it's adjusted quite a bit in other areas. Impatience with like paying off debt, impatience with financial goals, impatient. I mean, and then because as I was growing up, impatience would then go to apathy, where I would go from caring a ton to not caring at all. And that's my all or nothing mentality. And so I have to care some, but not so much that it's just drastically overwhelming. And so those are the tensions, I think, with patience that you have to mature in and grow and be able to, you know, be aware as you navigate through all that.
Yeah. And I think one of the things that I've seen in my own life and other leaders is impatience of letting other people catch up to where you are.
Yeah.
But not so much like in catching up to where you are in your thinking, but when you make a change, when you move an organization to somewhere else, there's losses that come with it.
Yeah.
And I think one of the things that leaders don't do a very good job of is they're not patient to allow other people to grieve the losses that they're experiencing.
Yep.
They focus just on, well, this is what we're doing. Like, are you on board or not? Are you with us? But allowing people, just giving people the patience to not only understand why you're doing something and where you're going, but then to grieve the loss of what is no longer there.
Yeah, right.
And that's really hard for leaders, because it's hard to quantify that loss sometimes.
Right. Absolutely it is.
So what advice do you have?
Good luck. That's all. I mean, good luck, you guys. You're listening. No. I actually
put on a bubble suit and
that's why, you know, apologize ahead of time with people. No, I mean, I literally, man, and this might be bad exegesis, I'm not sure. It might be brilliant. I still haven't decided. But what I started doing was intentionally positioning myself in situations where I was forced to be patient. Mm-hmm. Literally, I would go on a slower lane on the freeway, or I would go to a longer line at the grocery store. You know, because my whole life was strategizing to get the least path of resistance. And I realized that I was short circuiting some important opportunities in my mind for transformation and discipleship. So that was just very practical things. The second thing, I began really reading a lot about God's loving kindness and his long suffering with his people from the Old Testament and New Testament. Realizing if I'm created in the image of God and I am filled with God's Holy Spirit, then I should have some of that fruit of the Spirit that is evidenced by his presence in my life, to at least have a why answered on, you know, why, you know, why should I be patient? And with that, you know, really praying and asking God, help me be patient, and realizing that I had a choice. You know, when my daughter was 3 years old and asking why all the time and everything else, I realized that, hey, this is a long-term investment of investing in trust and relationship with my daughter, that while she might not have micro memories of these situations, that we that there is a long-term goal to have a trusting, ongoing relationship. And so there's benefit to patience, right? It's not only reflective of the character and nature of God. God not only promises to help us to do those things, but there is also significant benefits to, you know, waiting for folks and everything else. And my problem is I would go from patient to not patient. Like, it wasn't like, I'm patient, then impatient. Like, and so just being more aware of myself when I'm starting to feel more impatient and be more curious about it. I remember I heard a definition of frustration, that frustration is unmet expectations. And so being able to ask myself the question of, okay, what am I expecting in this situation? And then does the person have a clear understanding of it? Do they know how to achieve this outcome or whatever? And is it clarified and agreed to? And if those things aren't in place, then really I need to be impatient and frustrated with myself for not being more open to how I communicate those things in the first place.
Well, and I think too, patience also comes from seeing the long game. I mean, you talked about your daughter and, yeah, you know, parenting, you know, patience in parenting is the long game of parenting.
Yeah.
And, you know, for a lot of leaders, especially, you know, younger leaders, it's hard to think the long game. Mm-hmm. It's hard to think, I still have 30 years in this. I still have 40 years in this, or I even still have a decade in this.
Yep.
And to realize that there still is a long game, yep, when it comes to leadership, and it all doesn't have to happen today. It all, you know, or even this year, and to be patient in that.
Absolutely. And I think the first step is acknowledging I'm not patient. Like, here are areas I'm impatient right now. And I see a lot of leaders are very patient with their own flaws and impatient with everyone else's. I think becoming more aware of the patience you require other people to have with yourself is also an evening ground. And, you know, and maybe you're perfect and near Christ-like, then okay, fine. But the rest of us have a long ways to go. So, I mean, it's definitely a journey. And, you know, it's more of an awareness thing. Like, man, I was really impatient with that. And nothing triggers that more for me back in the day than was driving in traffic. That would get me. That was a low-hanging fruit on the symptoms. And now that I live in a smaller town, traffic is, you know, a minute and a half instead of 30 seconds going somewhere. So we're okay. But yeah, man, it's just something I think leaders, I think that is a linchpin in a lot of ways to a lot of issues that leaders find themselves getting into, that if they could become more aware of and more proactive and engaging, they would find greater success long term. So they can't hear you nodding.
I got nothing else to add, man.
Yeah, I think that's it. So, hey, everybody, thanks for listening to us. Thanks for being patient with us. You see what I did there? And we look forward to connecting with you next time. As always, you can connect with us online, our website, or on our Facebook page. And we will talk with you soon. Take care.
Thank you for listening to Leadership Conversations. If you enjoyed this episode, please feel free to share it. Also, leave a review for us on iTunes and Google Play. If you'd like to stay connected, please visit our website at www.leaderconvos.com.